I've just realized I didn't title my message, but I will call it Delighting in the Lord. I'll call it Delighting in the Lord. I'm still learning all these things, and the Holy Spirit keeps helping me. Once again, I count it a privilege that I can have this honor of exhorting us in the Word of God. I'm grateful to the pastors, and I believe the Lord, by His Spirit, will help us to pray effectively tonight, or to pick some nuggets that we can use to keep growing in the life of faith. So I want us to go to Psalms 37. Psalms 37, we'll read from verse 3 to 5. We can read in the Passion Translation, and then maybe in the, we can even start with New King James. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the Lord and feed on His faithfulness. For we are moving from 3 to 4, not 3 to 2. Yeah, from verse 3 to 5. Okay, let's start again so that we have the flow. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Let's read the Passion Translation, the same scriptures, please. It says, keep trusting in the Lord. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Not what is right in our eyes. What is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure. Feasting on His faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and He will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He pulled it off perfectly. Isn't that a good promise? It's a holistic life right there. Okay. So the key there is that we keep trusting in the Lord. So what does that tell us? That there is a pattern that we ought to follow that will arrive our lives at where it will be successful. So we follow His pattern. Why? Because it is the only right one. Our patterns may sound good, but they are not necessarily right. And what is a successful life is a life that is in line with what God wants for you. So we are to fix our heart. And I believe, again, this can take us back to heavenly perspective, because it's about fixing on the right thing. So, and one of the things that it says there is that fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure. Why? Because you're feasting on His faithfulness. So then I will say that you cannot feast on what you're not focusing on. All of us have been to dinners or luncheons or family parties or whatever they are. And when it's time to eat, people are fixated on what is being served. You know those queues. As they are queuing, they are fixing on looking at the dishes and wondering, I hope awatamaliza ile before I get there. So fixing on feasting takes focus. If you're not focused, then, you know, you're just, you know, little kids. They don't care. They are running around and eating because they don't understand what it's all about. But adults, we understand what feasting is. So feasting is an engaging position. It's an engaging position. If you're to fix on the promises of God, there has to be an intentional engagement. I will say feasting is different from tasting. You can taste the goodness of the Lord, but you can feast on the goodness of the Lord. Those are two different things. Tasting is by the way. Oh, you know how they give you cake tasters at supermarkets? Have you ever wondered, how are you supposed to know how good this thing is with something that is this tiny, that they slice, it's almost transparent, if not translucent, and they are giving you to say, and I always ask them, if you want to change my thinking, give me a chunk. And because I'm bold, sometimes I end up taking 4 or 5. I'm thinking, I can feel there's something, but what else? That's me. Don't follow my examples. You know I'm bold. But it's like a tiny slice, so you have tasted, but in reality, you don't know what it is unless you buy the whole cake. And that's their marketing gimmick. So tasting the word of God is okay, but tasting the word of God will not solidify you to that security that you are looking for. So that's what the Bible is saying, that you're fixing your heart on the promises, feasting on his faithfulness, okay? So verse 2 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is a scripture that if we can catch this scripture, what is to delight yourself in the Lord? Then he shall give you the desires of your heart. Each one of us here has a desire. Every morning you wake up with a kind of a desire. I mean, life is about what we desire. Our pursuit is what we desire. Careers, the careers we pick is about what we desire. The people we marry is about what we desire. The homes we buy is about what we desire. Because, you know, you go to a homes expo, there are all kinds of homes, but you end up selecting the one you desire, not necessarily the one you're offered. So the key is finding God's will for one's life. This is key. If you want to find God's will for your life, then you must delight yourself in the Lord. If you want to know why you were created, if you want to know why am I on earth, if you want to know, God, where is my business, if you want to know, God, what is my future about, it's critical that you delight yourself in the Lord. Why do I say so? Because you will never identify your life's purpose accidentally. Never. People think that years will bring answers to your life. Years don't bring answers. Years don't bring answers to your life. Age does not bring answers to your life. What brings answers to our life is our delighting in the word of God, or delighting in the Lord, because God reveals your purpose as you delight in him. That's why Matthew 7:7 will talk to us about ask, seek, and knock. And the Amplified says, keep seeking, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. What are you seeking and asking and knocking for? You're knocking to know, what is God's purpose for me? What am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be doing it? With whom am I supposed to be doing it? In what context am I supposed to be operating? Okay? That's why delighting yourself in the Lord is critical, because it will start unfolding your life's purpose. The word delight, I would like to define it. I'm sure if you go to the dictionary, it will give you definitions. But I would like to define it as being satisfied with God's ways. Delighting in the Lord is reaching a point of your life and you decide, I'm satisfied in pursuing God's ways. I'm pursuing in this, I'm satisfied in staying and sticking with this life of Christianity. I'm okay living for God. You understand? It's a point of satisfaction. It's being satisfied with God's ways. Why? Because satisfaction brings pleasure. If you're satisfied, you are enjoying. There's something you're enjoying about life. You know, life is about enjoyment. If you say you don't have to enjoy, then I think you're a different species. All of us are looking for enjoyment. Enjoyment is not evil. It's good to enjoy life, isn't it? It is. That's what God offers us. So your heart gets drawn to what you enjoy. Your heart gets drawn to what you enjoy. The kind of food you eat is what you enjoy most. That's what you call my favorite dish. And you have a propensity to keep making that dish, or to keep, when you visit somebody and they have dish, you want to hang around, even though you haven't been invited for the dinner. It's the people you're drawn to. You're drawn to people because you enjoy their company. You know, everybody loves everybody, or let me say it this, as Christians, we are supposed to love everybody, okay? It's a command to love. But it's not everybody you enjoy their company. That's not because they are bad. It's just because there are elements of life that is not, maybe you don't enjoy, you don't have similar likings, you understand? Or maybe there aren't even opportunities. It doesn't have to be that there is something wrong. But the people that you enjoy, you get drawn to them. Okay? That's how people find hobbies. Why do people get hooked to hobbies? They enjoy them. So satisfaction brings pleasure. And then your heart is drawn to what you enjoy. The only way to find pleasure in the word is by doing it. So you become an addict of doing the word of God. Knowing about it will never get you hooked to it. Knowing about the word is a start point, but if you're not doing the word, you will never get hooked to the word. Why do I say so? Me and you know that there are substances that make people addicts. Alcohol can make you addictive. Cannabis, all those many things, pornography. There are so many things that make people addicts. We know about them, but we don't do them. That's the difference. So addicts are people who not only know, but they do. So the key is the doing. Because knowing about the word of God, knowing about the promises of God, is good, but it does not engage you into the position of delighting. Because delighting, for you to delight in the word of God, you must be an addict of the word of God. And you cannot get addicted to what you're not doing. Doing must be involved for you to become an addict. Why do I say so? What you do repeatedly, you develop a craving for. That's how people get addicted. They develop a craving for what they do repeatedly. So I'll give an example. I'll never crave for ice cream. I will never crave for ice cream. I know some two colleagues here in LFI. Oh my goodness, if they know you have ice cream in your house, they are visiting by phone. I think you know one of them. I never crave for ice cream. That means even if you serve me ice cream, you haven't done a big thing to me. I'll taste it, and that's about it. And it will never, I mean, really, if somebody came to my, sometimes I'll buy ice cream if I have my family coming and I know little kids are coming. If it is left, if there is a leftover ice cream, it will stay there until somebody else comes who can take it. I will never open my fridge to take ice cream. It is does not interest me at all. Never. Therefore, I will never be addicted to ice cream. That's all I'm trying to emphasize. What you crave for, you become addicted for. If you crave the word of God, your system becomes addicted to the word of God, such that the day you have not eaten the word of God, you can't explain it, but you can tell something is missing. Why? Because you become addicted to the word of God. So delighting in the word, what does it do? It starts aligning your desires. Yeah, it starts shifting your desires. When the scripture there says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's not talking about, because you read the scripture for the day today, now you can go ask him for all the desire, wacky desires that you have, that just to gratify your selfish self. That's not what it means. It's the more you eat the word of God, it starts aligning your desires to the will of God, because that word starts being formed within you and it starts informing your mind on what you should be focusing on. So your fixation becomes what God wants. And that then, now that you are walking in tandem with the word of God, your desires becomes God's desires. So then he can give you your heart's desire. Why? Because there's been a heart transformation. When your heart is transformed by his word, then you are already in line with what he had created you to do. So when you ask, I want, Lord, this is what I would desire. Because it is in line with what he wants for you, it becomes easy for those desires to be released by his grace. Okay? So delighting in the word starts aligning your desires with his will for your life. Then you'll find that you start losing interest in earthly ambitions. Christians, ambition, I'm not an English teacher, but I don't think, I beg to be correct, I don't think ambition is the right word for a Christian. Ambition. Ambition is what tramples this world. I'm ambitious, I'll climb over everybody, I'll do anything, I will get rich anyhow, I don't care whatever it takes, I must attain. I don't think, but I stand to be corrected. To me, ambition, you start losing earthly ambitions because you're already satisfied in the position that you're delighting in. Okay? You're already satisfied with the plan of God because you are enjoying this union with him so much that really, and let me make a disclaimer, that does not mean that we are not desiring to increase. That does not mean we are not getting our education. That does not mean nobody is marrying nobody because we are satisfied with our word. Do you understand? Don't get to the other ditch. I'm talking about ungodly ambition. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. The desires that are godly are allowed. Because that then he would never have told us that you will move from glory to glory. Okay? So you start losing interest in earthly desires and you start hearing the voice of God with clarity. Hearing, delighting yourself in the Lord. Delighting yourself in the Lord will involve the word and prayer. It will. It's like when a young boy and a young girl are relating, they are ever walking together. Why? Because they're delighting themselves with each other. Okay? And therefore, you start hearing the word of God with clarity. Because the more time you're spending with God, the clearer his voice is becoming to you in your spirit. You can tell this what I wanted to do, you can tell this a sourness it's not right. But then you can also tell a relief in something that he is leading you into. So you start, as you delight yourself in the Lord, the voice, hearing the voice of God becomes clearer. So you are able to distinguish his voice from the other voices. A satisfied person, which is a person that delights in the Lord, is not easy to distract.
Because why?
They are satisfied in staying and being directed by the Lord. So being busy does not mean you are succeeding. So instead of wasting your time being busy, spend your time waiting on him. Spend your time waiting on him, because just one instruction that the Lord will give you will catapult you so far, you will come and pass everybody. Not that you are racing against anybody, but it will take you where you needed to go without having all this other busyness. I want to qualify that with Psalms 127. Let's go to Psalms 127 in the New King James Version. Verse 1 says, we'll read verse 1 and 2. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. So verse 1 is telling us that the blessing originates from God. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless he does, your business will not build. You can have structures, but structures are not necessarily houses, okay? So the blessing originates from God. Our labor, our education, our occupation, whatever else we are involved in, must draw sustenance from him. That's why delighting in him is critical. We will do all this. We will build the house. We will be engaged in building our lives. We will raise families. But we must draw sustenance for what we are doing from the Lord so that it can thrive. If the Lord is not involved, you're busy, but there is no, you can't show the fruit, or there is too much strain and stress and labor unnecessary. So when we follow our own plans, the outcome is usually vanity. Mm-hmm. If you read, we saw that in verse 2. Verse 1. The watchman stays awake in vain. You can go back to verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So you can be busy, but the outcome is vain. The watchmen are staying awake in vain. Verse 2. It is vain. You see that word vain is being repeated enough to help us understand that the Lord has to be in the center of what we are doing for it not to bring out vanity. And I looked at the definition of the word vain. This is what the dictionary defines vain. It's ineffectual. It is unsuccessful. It's futile. It's without real significance, without real value, without real importance. It's baseless. It's worthless. Let me repeat that definition. It's ineffectual, unsuccessful, futile, without real significance, real value, or real importance, baseless, and worthless. Can you imagine? You are thinking that you are going somewhere, and at the end of the journey, you recognize there was nothing you were doing because vanity came out of it. So if it didn't originate from God, no matter how good it appears, it's worthless. And we made mistakes, some of us, right?
I pick up three hands and say, yeah, I've walked that journey. And I reached that somewhere and I say, oh, this one looked glamorous, but it ain't glamorous. It's worthless. You understand? It's worthless. So, and I will say, money does not equal success. Because money is available and you seem to be making it, that doesn't mean you're successful in the context of the Word of God. Biblical success in what is done God's way. So delighting in the Lord in order to hear the instruction and being careful to do the instructions, even though they may take long, the end of faith will be successful God's way. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, just so that we can expound that further or by the word. You know, you explain the word by the word. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Okay, let's read several scriptures. Maybe we can read up to verse 14, it's not much. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. That we need to note. We are not ours, we are his. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. Take heed how you're building the project that you're involved in. Okay? Move on, please. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, move on, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. Okay, a lot we read there, but let me just expound briefly. Verse 8, we see that we are in the same team. We are in the same team. Each one, we are all in it. So every one of us is in a building project somewhere. We are all in it, and it says that, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So that means even though we are in the same team, we are being evaluated individually. So that means each one of us must take care of how you're doing your part. There's the collective team spirit, but there is the individual evaluation to determine the reward that will come to each individual. That's how you find you are all in the same church, but some people are moving forward and some people are mark timing and some people are moving back or somehow. Why? Because even though we are together, there is an individual responsibility to how you're responding to the word. Okay? Verse 9 says that we are co-working with God and he owns the project. So that one must be clear. Whatever we are involved in, we are God. What we are doing is his. So it only makes sense that we do it his way. Verse 10 says, great care must be taken to ensure we all stick to God's building guidelines. Okay? I try to interpret the word of God the way I understand it. So, but if you read there, that's what it says. It's according to the grace each one of us has been given, then the latter part, but let each one take heed how he builds it. So it means that each one of us must take great care to ensure all of us are building according to God's guidelines. Why must we all take care. Because if you read that, the context of that scripture, he said he started the work, somebody came and watered, somebody else probably will weed it. So it means that building has to remain in a correct structure so that when somebody else comes to take their part, they don't find things are not correct. In the corporate world, they use, well, they let me say they used to use, because I haven't been in the corporate world for too long and things change every year. When I was working, we used to call them standard operating procedures. That means if you're in the accounts office, or if you're in the human resource department, or whether you're in the marketing department, there's a standard operating procedure for your function. So that this is how, let me say, if it's accounting, you're dealing with paying creditors. This is the genesis. This genesis is you receive, let me see, the pro forma, where is the approval, where is the invoice, who qualified the work, who received, where is the delivery note. You understand? So that there is a standard operating procedure that even if you are not on duty today, your SPO is there. Somebody else can come in and all they need to do is check from, this is how far this building is. The project has come this far. And that's why as Christians, our engagement with the Word of God and the life of prayer, what does it do? It builds our lives that we become simplify the processes of building the kingdom of God, so that when people come in, they are not wondering who is born again and who is not. You understand? They come in and they can tell, oh yeah, this church has gone this far, so I need to up my game to fit in where the project is. Otherwise then we'll keep mark timing or moving back, and we need to move. So we have to operate within the guidelines of this building project. Why? So that everybody can come and build up. Everybody can come and build up. And then we are becoming a force that the enemy cannot reckon. Verse 11 there, I will say, no one has the liberty to do it their way. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Nobody has the liberty. So when people say, my dress, my choice, my body, my life, my lifestyle, what is all that? It's either you're a Christian or not. You understand? Yeah, nobody is laying another foundation. The foundation is the Word. The qualification will be based on the Word. So this Word is not pick and choose. It is, this is the way he wants it done. And that's what I will do. That's why I need to delight in him, so that I'm not tweaking out of the parameters. There are parameters that are operational in the kingdom. And for me to stay within the parameters, I must be very aware of what is required. So the guidelines are clear to me. Okay? So no one has the liberty. That's why Jesus said, you choose life or death. In case you're daft, I suggest you choose life. But if you choose death, there's nothing we can do. You escort yourself to hell. It's not that he will want to burn anybody. It's people choose. You understand? He loves everybody. Verse 12 to 13 talks about the project will be evaluated, and God is just. So he's not, he won't think, Ruth looks a little tall, so maybe let me give. No, it doesn't work like that. It's based on the guidelines. He will evaluate it based on the guidelines. So that means, it says, if anyone builds on his foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. You remember the scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is required. Everybody has their level, and they are evaluated at the capacity that God has given them. But that does not mean that I will stay lazy because this is my only capacity. I think a couple of weeks I said, we can increase our capacity. But you know, if the music didn't go right tonight, I'm going home to sleep. It wasn't my responsibility. I will not spend a sleepless night that the music didn't go wrong. Who is responsible? Your guys. You understand? So everybody must know their place. The ushers must know their place. The security people must know their place. The council, everybody must know their place so that the building is being built intact. It's a solid building because nobody is playing games with their part. Okay? Yeah. So it will be evaluated by God, not us, not pastor. If guidelines, so then I will say verse 14, let's move on to verse 14. It says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. You see, that building is being evaluated. This work of the kingdom that we are involved in now, one day we stand before God, it will be evaluated. And it says, if anyone's work which he has built on it, because you're expected to build on it, if it endures, you will receive a reward. So if the guidelines were followed, there will be a reward. If guidelines, verse 15 says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. So if guidelines were followed, the project is worthless. I was trying to qualify the word vanity with all that I have said. There is a work, but this work must be done his way. The implements are available. So none of us has an excuse to produce a worthless building. Okay? So it's only God who can make your life meaningful. If you want to end up with a project that is evaluated and is correct, it has reward, you must delight in him. Because then you will start getting the desires to follow him, and every whatever you'll be producing will have a reward eventually. You know, sometimes we think God is merciful, and he is. But mercy does not give us the right not to do the right things. We must stick within. We must delight in the Lord so that the desires we have are godly desires. So let me go back to Psalms 127, where we started. Before I came to Corinthians, Psalms 127, verse 2. This time I want to read it in the NLT, the New Living Translation, if you have it. New Living Translation, if you have it. This is what it says. That's the New Living Translation. Verse 2, please. Verse 2. This is what it says. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. I would say that the most tiring thing in life is to do something that you're not graced to do. That's why it's important to delight in the Lord, to know what you're supposed to do. I'm telling you, the most tiring thing in life is to do something that you're not graced to do, but you're doing it because you want money. Or you're doing it because there is nothing else. God does not fill vacuum. He could not have created any of us without a purpose. So it's important to wait to delight in the Lord so that he can create the desires for what he created you to do. Okay? And I will say that's why hearing God is very critical. And you won't hear God if you're not delighting in him. Why do I say it's the most tiring thing? Because you get frustrated. Your life is drained. You're drained physically, emotionally, resourceful-wise. You're drained because you're where you're not supposed to be. You have a drained life if you are just doing things and busy from morning to evening, and you're not sure that I'm in the will of God. It's most draining. I love children, literally. I believe I love children. I know I love children. I know I love children. I can run around with children. I can take children to wherever you want me to go to them. Malls, take them wherever, run around with them. If you find me at the children's home running with those children, Curtis, you will think, this woman, I love the company of children. But please don't take me to a classroom to teach children. Don't. Please. It's damage. I love children to this out here. But to this, oh my goodness, I would try to do homework with my sons, and I'm like, oh God, this is damaging. Because I'm like, how can you not get there? You know how you have to remain? I don't do that. So don't give me children to teach in a classroom setup. Give me children to entertain. Give me children to jump around with. Give me children to talk stories. I will do that with so much grace. But take me to a classroom and I'm like, somebody come and remove me before I do damage. Rescue me. Honestly, I cannot. I don't know how you teachers do. I have high regard for teachers. I do. I saw Bethel join HLA the other day. And you know, she was a little timid. Now today, was it yesterday? I'm seeing Betham. She's coming to the office. She said, "May I have Miss Dean, may I have a tissue, please, for her classes?" So, and I'm thinking, what? Somebody transformed this to this? I mean, it was so confident. And I'm thinking, somebody did this. Me, by the third day, I'll be saying, Bethel, why are you not? You understand? So you must know. That's why it's important to know where you're called, okay? So that you're doing justice to the rest of God's people. So just because you like a thing does not mean you'll enjoy doing it. Really. I like music. Please let nobody ever propose me to solo anything here. Because you won't know where you're going, where you started, how you ended. But you will be busy. There will be noises, but I don't know what. You understand? I like music, but I'm not a singer. So just because you like something, don't just assume that's what you're supposed to do. Ask the Lord what you're supposed to do. So that you don't end up with a frustrated life, okay? So I will say, recognize that liking and enjoying are very different. They are like tasting and feasting. I gave you the difference between tasting and feasting. So you must know where you're really called, because you will enjoy. Enjoyment is dependent on the grace upon you to do it. If there is no grace to do it, you won't enjoy it. You may do it, but you won't enjoy it. There are people who stick in a job for 20 years. They have not enjoyed the job, but they did it because they needed the money. But the grace was not there. But that cannot happen to us. So we must delight in the Lord so that our paths are directed correctly. So you get satisfaction when you do something that you enjoy. And the only thing that brings satisfaction to the heart of a man is the plan of God. Nothing else. Only God satisfies the heart of a man. The plan that God has for you, it will give you enjoyment. Even when things look so difficult and complicated, everybody is wondering, how is she surviving? And you are like, I'm in cloud nine. What's the problem? You know, people are feeling sorry for you, and you're like, guys, this is good. It's very good. Yeah, I'm enjoying. Why? Because you have the grace. You are within the plan of God. So today I would like us to pray. I'd like us to pray. We'll pray with, let's go to Psalms 29, please, in the NLT. Psalms 29. This is what Psalms 29, verse 11 says. Verse 11 says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. The strength and the peace that God gives is to enable you to walk the purpose that he has given you. So where do you receive strength? You receive strength by hearing the voice of the Lord. For sake of time, we may not read this, the whole, but it's not long. Let's read it. Let's read from verse 1, please. It's not long. This is what it says. Okay. It's okay. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. This is where I was heading. The voice of the Lord echoes above the seas. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, glory. The Lord rules over the flood waters. The Lord reigns as king forever. Then it says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. So when we look at those scriptures, what do we see here? The victory, the element or the implement or the way that God conquers is through his voice. It's his voice that splits, it's his voice that you all go read and see what he does. So the voice of the Lord directs our lives, making us strong and peace. If you're not hearing the voice of the Lord, you can grow in age, but you're growing weak. You can do what you're doing, but you're not advancing in the strength that you are supposed to be strengthening. Why? Because you're missing the link to your strength. The link to your strength, the link to your success is the voice of the Lord. So tonight I want us to pray to amplifying the voice of the Lord in our situations. So we know what the voice of the Lord does. And the Bible says that he has given us authority over hindrances and situations that will hinder us from receiving the fullness of what he has. So tonight we'll pray briefly in tongues, believing that we are amplifying the voice of the Lord over our purposes. Okay? So that we are able to delight before him continually and we become satisfied. Because once you have the voice of the Lord within you, you get satisfaction. So can you stand up, please? We pray tonight. Briefly, we'll pray in tongues. And then we can go home believing that we have picked some nuggets on how to delight in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Father, tonight, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for you did not leave us unaided. You left us with the Holy Spirit, our aid, our support, our advocate, the one who teaches us after understanding. Lord, we are praying tonight by faith, amplifying your voice in our spirit. Amplifying your voice to distractions and hindrances that will hinder us from hearing your voice. Amplifying your voice and taking our dominion. We were called to dominate. And so as we pray tonight, oh God, we're believing that we are speaking to situations. We are speaking to circumstances. We are speaking to attitudes. We are speaking to things that would have hindered us from
going as far as we would have gone. But because you have allowed us to understand that we are in a building project and we cannot afford to produce a vain building, tonight, oh God, we are realigning our purposes and our focuses to hear your voice, that we may do what you have called us to do collectively as a body, but individually, that each one of us is becoming effective and useful to the kingdom of God. Let's just pray in tongues briefly tonight. Karemonde rebeshika katarabashanda. Karemonde rebasayanta. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. We bless you for your word. God, we desire to delight in your word. We desire you more than anything else we know. Within us, oh God, are reservoirs of your anointing. Within us, God, are reservoirs of your greatness. The Spirit of God, the executor of the will of God, resides within us. Therefore, there is no limitation to what we can produce. If only we can know your voice and hear it with clarity. So tonight, oh God, as a congregation, we commit ourselves to delight in you, to seek your ways, to pursue you, oh God, to run after you. Paul told each one of us that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because this salvation, oh God, is available. It was not just about the salvation of our souls. It was not only the redemption of our lives. It was about the effectiveness of building the kingdom of God while we are resident on earth. So tonight, oh God, we draw from the reservoirs of faith within us. We draw from the word of God. We draw from the prayers of faith. We draw the greatness of our God into our lives, individually and as a church body. So tonight, oh Lord our God, we are reminded of your word that says that we are kept by the power of God. We are not kept by our businesses. We are not kept by our education. We are not kept by our fat bank account. We are kept by the power of God. And the Bible says that you uphold all things by the word of your power. Your power is in your word. Your power is in your word, and your word is vocalized by faith. So tonight we vocalize your word, oh God. We declare, oh God, our Father, that we are successful. We are successful in businesses. We are successful, God, in our workplaces. We are successful as parents. We are successful as husbands and wives. We are successful as a congregation of Victory Faith. We are successful, oh God, in every building project that you have placed us. Oh, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we repent of failures that we have accepted as a way of life. Oh God, we repent of laxity, and we repent of carelessness. We repent of a drawn out journeys that are not helpful to the purposes of the kingdom of God. So tonight, oh Lord, we awaken every sleeping giant in this congregation. We call you great. We call you able. We call you able in the name of Jesus. Corinthians have reminded us, oh God, that every one of us is involved in building your kingdom, but that we are to do it according to the laid down guidelines. So tonight, our Father, we repent where we have detoured, from the pattern that you have laid. You say that everything is laid on the cornerstone. The pattern is Jesus himself. Therefore, we have no excuses to fail. He did not fail. Jesus himself, the Bible says, that when he went to Hades, he dethroned every demonic force. Then he made them, oh yes,
his audience. He was not their prisoner. He was the ruling and reigning king, even in the bottom of the Hades. And tonight we have the same power. The Bible calls us, oh, call laborers with you. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, we declare we are strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible has told us that you are the one that strengthens us, and you give us the ability to live in peace. So we declare in this congregation, there are no weak points. There are no weak men. There are no weak women. There are no weak youth here. There are no weak children. This congregation cannot weaken. It can only multiply in strength. The Bible says that we shall run and we shall not grow weary. We shall walk and we shall not faint, because we have the impotence of God within us, the DNA of our Father, the strength, the supercharged strength of God reside within us, oh God. Therefore, tonight we draw from that strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit that is only found in the Word of God. So we declare your Word is critical to our lives. We won't play games with your Word, oh God. We are not reading your Word to fulfill a regulation. We are reading your Word to allow it to satisfy our longings. Every longing in our hearts can be satisfied with the Word of God. The Word of God is a multifaceted word. The Bible says it's living and it's active. It pierces between the soul and the marrow. So tonight we declare that word that pierces between the soul and the spirit. It is separating our souls, oh God, and allowing us to draw from the spirit. Our souls are informed by what we draw from the spirit, and that spirit feeds from the word of God. It carries the truth of life. So we declare tonight in the name of Jesus, we are carriers of the truth. We are builders of true buildings. We are builders of buildings that last. We are builders of homes that last. We are builders of businesses that carry the aura and the anointing of God. We cannot fail when the world is failing. We cannot be judged as the world is being judged. We have been catapulted to a high level position. The Bible says that we are seated together with Christ. So we have dominion and authority over every element of destruction. So in the name of Jesus, we declare this congregation is not lured. It's not lured because it is satisfied in the Lord God of their salvation. So tonight we thank you, our Father. Oh, we know we are a building project and you are the master. Thank you for giving us the implements to build our lives. It's your word. It's your spirit. It's the life of worship. So in our time, in our homes, oh God, you are elevated in worship, in prayer, in reading of the word. As we sit down, oh God, wherever we find ourselves, out of our bellies, oh God, we speak words that give life. So we declare in the name of Jesus, we are playing our part in building the project of God, the house of God, the house of victory faith, the houses where we dwell, the houses of the communities where we find ourselves. God, we are value adders. We are value adders. We add values wherever we find ourselves, because we are directed and instructed by God. We hear the voice of God with clarity, and we follow his instructions, oh God, to the book. We are not doing it our way. And therefore, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the discipline that is required to delight ourselves in the presence of the Lord. So we thank you for encompassing our lives. But Colossians 2:2, that says that we be wrapped up in the comfort of heaven,
we are wrapped up by your glory, and we are wrapped up by your anointing. They are both found in the Word of God. So the more of the Word we are engaged in, the more the cloud of your wrapping is around us, that the enemy cannot touch us from whichever angle he tries to infiltrate. We seal every loophole in the name of Jesus. We seal every loophole. We call ourselves attentive to the voice of the Lord and attentive to the Word of God. We call ourselves doers of the Word of God. We are pursuing that which is of your kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is our pursuit, O God. Because then when we pursue you, then our desires become your will. So we want to perform our calling, our purposes, and the reason you put us on planet Earth, to do your will. Even for the span of the lives that you give each one of us, we thank you tonight, and we bless you. We bless you for strengthening us, and we bless you for allowing us to live in peaceful habitations, because where your presence is, the evil one cannot penetrate. So we bless the homes of your people. We bless the businesses of your people. We bless everything we are engaged in. The Bible says that the works of our hands is blessed. So whatever we are engaged in, because it originated from your word, that it becomes successful. Because the blessings of the Lord, they add no sorrow, but they make rich. May we enjoy the richness that is derived from obeying the word of God and doing the word of God according to the pattern of heaven. We bless you and we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.